for taking us into the presence of God this morning. Turn your little fingers to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. This morning, I have a very simple message for you, because I believe that one of the things that God wants to do is to encourage us this morning. Yes. And all I'm going to say to you this morning is three things. God sees, God hears, and God knows. God sees, God hears, and God knows. You see, laugh, and the world laughs with you. It's easy to be surrounded with friends and family when we are up in the mountain. When we are in times of healing and prosperity and joy, we find ourselves surrounded with people. But when you go through sickness, when you go through pain and suffering, you're going to find something if you haven't found that out yet. And it's this. Very few people are willing to be there for you. How many of us can say amen to that? Amen. It's just a fact of life. Because the place of sickness, the place of affliction and sorrow is a very lonely place. Does anybody care? But when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, he said something that shows us that God cares for your affliction. That no matter what you are going through, Jesus is with you, walking through the fire with you, and he will never leave you, and he will never abandon you. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And this is when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And look what he says. This amazes me. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmaster, and I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. In other words, God is going to take the life from the Hittites and give it to you. Friends, this is the good news as we read this passage of scripture this morning. And it's that God sees, God hears, and God knows your suffering. God knows your affliction. God knows your sickness this morning. Can we thank him for that? Today, as we explore this passage in Exodus chapter 3, I want us to find comfort in the truth that God cares for his people. We can find comfort this morning in the truth that, number one, God sees the affliction to which his people are exposed. In verse 7, he says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. Friend, you are not alone, but God sees your need this morning. God sees what the enemy is trying to do to you. Yeah. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. Now, this can be a terrifying truth in a way. Because one of the main flaws of human beings is pretending. Say, pretending. When we do something good and when we do something noble, we want everyone to know about it and to notice us. Have you noticed that? I mean, when we put on a new outfit or when we have a new hairdo, we walk slower than usual. And then we stop down the hallway and we say hello to people that we normally don't say hello to. Because they want us to notice the new shirt that we are wearing this morning. They they want us to notice the new hairdo that we are wearing this morning. Sometimes we should hide, but we still want them to notice. Because this is part of human nature. When we do something noble, when we do something good, when we do a good deed, we want everyone, say everyone, to notice. And we announce it in very subtle ways. Oh, but when we make a mistake, when we do something that we know we should not have done, or when we say something that we know we should not have said, because sometimes the devil can take the best of our mouth, even spirit-filled Christians. We don't announce it.
No.
No. As a matter of fact, during those days, we come late to church. Because we don't announce it. And we do everything possible so that people will know what I did, what I said. We pretend. And you know what? Pretending works for a time. We would get away with it for a time. But the problem is this. Get this. We think that this works with God. That we can pretend with God and hide things from Him. But let's get a revelation this morning about who God is. And it's this. God sees everything about us. Turn to your neighbor and say, God sees. Even the hidden things in our hearts. Look at what David said in Psalm 33, verse 13. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees who? All mankind. And in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 11, it says, even the death of death and destruction are known by the Lord. How much more does He know the human heart? Friend, understand something about our God. God knows and sees everything about you. Yes. Pretending never ever works with God. Amen. God has the power to know every single thought in your mind. God has the power to know desires, to know emotions, to know intentions in our heart. There is nothing that we can hide from our God. Even if we don't speak it, God knows it. And even if we don't do it, God knows that we intend to do it.
That's right.
But this is also a most comforting truth. Because God sees the trials of His people. The Lord sees when His people are hurting. We must never believe the lie that says, God does not care about me. No. Friend. God sees. He cannot fail to see what you're going through. God is always watching over His people.
Oh, yes.
Even in the darkness, most difficult valleys of life, He is always there with us. Psalm 33, verse 18 says it this way. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him. On those who hope on His mercy. Psalm 34 verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry.
Yeah.
Friend, we can find comfort this morning in the Word of God in knowing that God sees your affliction, that God sees your sickness, and God sees your problem. Even before you're going to pray about it, God already knows what you are going through. People do not have this ability. Sometimes even in church we get offended. And we say, well, I was in the hospital and nobody called me. But God knows when you're in the hospital.
That's right. That's all you need.
God knows everything that is going on in your life. God sees everything that the enemy is trying to do to your health, to your family, and to your marriage. And because he knows, he's going to move in your behalf.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. Second,
thank you, Lord.
This tells me
that
God hears the cry of his people.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, it says, I have heard. He said this to Moses. I have heard the cry because of their taskmaster. The basic force of prayer is the fact that God answers prayer. God always, always answers the cry of his people. Israel had been in bondage for 400 years. And to them, it might have seemed that God was not going to answer them. That God was deaf to the cry and the prayers of his people. But God did answer the cry of his people. Church, God does not only see your affliction. God does not only see your suffering. But he also hears the cry of his people in the midst of their affliction.
Oh my God. Thank you, Lord.
God does not neglect or ignore the affliction and the suffering of his people. But rather, when his people cry to him, he hears their cry.
Yes.
Psalm 34 verse 17 says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears. And delivers them out of all of their troubles. God hears the cry of those in despair and troubles. Psalm 34 verse 6 says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all. Highlight the word all in your Bible. All of your troubles. God has the power and God desires to deliver his people from every single trouble that they go through in this life. We read of many answered prayers in the Bible. God heard the cry of Ishmael when him and his mother were without water in the desert. God heard the cry of a woman named Hannah in the Old Testament when he cried out for a child and Samuel was born. God heard the cries of the Israelites in Egyptian slavery and he sent Moses, the deliverer, to deliver them. He heard when they were hungry and gave them manna from heaven. God gave water to the thirsty. He gave children to the childless and freedom to slaves and food to the hungry. Why? Because God hears the cry of his people. And maybe you are thinking this morning, I have prayed. I have prayed about this situation for a very long time. And God did not answer me. But church, although God listens to our prayers because God always answers prayer. Always. We must understand something. That a prayer is a request that we present before God, but is subject to the sovereign will of God. God always listens to his people, but he's also a good father, church. And as a good father, he does not always do everything that we ask for or that we want. When I look back in my life, I thank God for the many times that he answers to my prayer has been no.
Amen.
Because I thought that I was getting a blessing. I thought that I was about to do something good. But if God has granted my request, I would have perished.
All right, preach it. Come on, Pastor.
I remember years ago, I was working for the Department of Children and Family. And I was praying and praying and praying for a promotion. I wanted to be promoted in that department and have a position in management. And I pray and I fasted, and God did not open the door at the time. And to be honest with you, I got mad at God. He says, I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm giving, I'm serving you, and how come somebody else got this promotion? And at the time, I couldn't understand. But at the same time that the promotion was open in my department, God opened a door to work here in church. And not only that, years later, I was speaking to some of my co-workers at the time, and the department where the promotion had been granted was closed. So I would have been unemployed if God had granted my request at the time. What am I saying? That God is a God that always answers the prayer of his people. But as a good God, he does not do everything that his children ask or when they want it. At times, God delays his answer because we are not ready for the blessing. I always say this, especially in ministry. Do not allow me to go in a place, or do not allow me to have a position in ministry that my heart is not ready for. Because promotion and glory without the heart leads to destruction. When our hearts are not ready to receive something, that blessing can turn into a curse. How many men and women of God I have seen in ministry and in life that they started very humbly. They started with a supernatural anointing of the Spirit in their life. God used them in a mighty way, but yet their hearts was not ready and they got promoted. And they end up lifting up in pride and they end up causing great damage to the body of Christ. Many of them are not even serving God nowadays. But in his mercy, because he is a good father, and because he knows everything about you, sometimes the answer to a prayer is no. Sometimes the answer to a prayer is a denial. Sometimes the answer to a prayer is, wait, you're not ready yet. And other times, we simply don't ask according to his will. The prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane demonstrates this to us. In Luke chapter 22 verse 42, he prayed. And he said, Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Jesus in his humanity did not want to go to the cross. He did not want to die on the cross. He did not want to carry in his body the guilt of your sins and mine. So he asked God, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. If it's possible, spare me and save me from the horrible death of the cross. But then he says something amazing. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but your wills be done. And we need to learn to pray this way. When we present anything before God, even when it is a good thing, say, God, this is what I want. Lord, this is what I desire. But let it be your will and not my will in this situation. And an angel came and strengthened Jesus, but he had to drink the cup. He had to go to the cross. He had to endure the pain and the loneliness of the cross. Church, his prayer was heard, but God's answer was not to spare him from the death. But God's answer to the prayer was even better. The answer was resurrection from the grave, victory over death, victory over sickness, victory over the power of hell. Not only for him, but for all who believe in his name. Amen. Jesus is teaching us something here, and it's this: not every good thing that we ask from God is necessarily good. God has a time and a place and a season for everything. And even though God answers the cry of his people,
When he denies something from us, we ought to praise him and say, thank you, because I know I might not see it now. I might not understand it now, but you are sparing me from something that is going to hurt me.
Amen. Amen.
Find comfort in the truth that God sees. We can find comfort in the truth that God hears the cry of his people. And we can find comfort in the truth that God knows. God knows the affliction of his people. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, he said to Moses, I know their sorrows. I know their sorrows. The word know there in the Hebrew is very, very interesting. Because it's not talking about knowing in head knowledge. But the word in the Hebrew gives us the concept that in our affliction, God is afflicted. In other words, God knows your affliction, and God is afflicted in the same way that you are during your affliction. God knows your sickness, and God feels the same pain and the same loneliness and the same despair that you feel in your sickness. He feels it.
Wow. Yes.
Isaiah 63 verse 9 says it this way. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bore them and carried them all the days of all. God is a God that is full of compassion, full of sympathy toward the sorrow of his people in their affliction. In Psalm 103 verse 13 says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Now, pity there, the word pity means to feel the pain of others, to weep with those that weep. Church, I don't know about you, but this is so comforting. Because sometimes we go through stuff that people are not capable to understand. Sometimes we feel pain and sorrow in our hearts that others cannot sympathize with. But understand something about your God this morning. And that is that when you cry, God cries with you. That is when you feel pain and loneliness, God feels the same pain and the same loneliness that you feel. That is that God is afflicted in the same way that you are in your affliction.
Yes, yes. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Our Father feels our pain.
Yes.
And he does whatever he can in his power to alleviate that pain.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
I am so moved.
Wow.
By a wonderful Father. There is a friend of my family, and they live in Puerto Rico. And you know, many fathers and many men have been demonized now in this world, saying, men do not know how to be fathers. I disagree with that. There are many, many, many men that are excellent fathers. Amen. And I have seen them. I have seen the example. I have seen the role models in my life. Even here, we have many, many, many men that are excellent godly fathers, and I praise for God for them. But sometimes we tend to focus more on the negative than the positive. Men know how to be fathers. And there's an example of a father, and he's a Christian. They have about 6 children, and during the last child, the mother had a very, very difficult pregnancy. They were having some struggles in their marriage. And because of the suffering and the tribulation that she went through, when the baby was born, the umbilical cord was completely wrapped around his neck. And because of that, the baby was deprived of oxygen for several seconds. And because of that, when the baby was born, the doctors told this man, your son will never, ever walk again. Your son is going to be a vegetable for the rest of his life. And a few years ago, I had the opportunity to travel to the island, and I visited them. And when I went into that room, it broke my heart. Honestly, to be honest with you, I broke down in tears. Because I saw a man that is now 30 years old, and he is like a giant baby. The father built an enormous crib that they keep in his room. And this man uses Pampers. He's not able to talk. He's not able to walk. He's not able to do anything. The father has to do everything for this man. And that day when I was there, he was feeding him. And he only feed him certain special foods that he has to put through the blender because he don't even have the strength to chew food. And when I look at this man, when I look at this father, how he went to the kitchen and he put everything through the blender for his son and how he put it in a bottle, in a huge bottle that he has prepared for him, special for him, and how he picks up, and this man is already in his 70s. And how he picks up, literally, he gets strength when he doesn't have strength, because there is strength in love. There is power in love. Love will provoke us to do what we cannot do on our own. And how he picked up this man. And he put a beep on his chest. And he began to feed him. It took him almost an hour to eat a few ounces of food. But I could see the love, the care, the mercy in this father. And when I was reading this scripture and preparing this message the other day, it reminded me of that. God has pity upon his children. And God is with you. And God has mercy with you. And he is going through you, through your fire, and is doing everything within his power to alleviate your pain and your suffering. Now, it is a mistake to think that you can hide from God. We cannot hide from God. God sees and knows all things. 1 John chapter 3 declares. God is a mind reader. Many times we have the phrase that we use it all the time. I am not a mind reader. Nobody can read my mind. Mistake. There is one being in the universe that can read your mind, and it's called Jesus Christ. Job chapter 42 verse 2 says that no thought can be withholden from thee. God knows every single thought in your mind. God knows the secret of everyone's heart. We all have secrets. Say, I have secrets. There's things within your heart that not even your own spouse knows. There's things within your heart that not even your own mother and father knows. Not even the closest person in the world to you knows. But God knows. Acts chapter 1 verse 24 says, and they pray and said, thou Lord, which knows the hearts of all men. God knows every emotion. God knows every desire. God knows every intention within you. Even if you don't speak it, God knows it. You cannot hide from God. God's presence is everywhere. David said this to us in Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8. Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in hell, you are there. There is nowhere that we can run from the presence of God. Jonah tried to make that mistake when God called him. And he went the other way, thinking that he was going to run away from God. But wrong. Jonah found that God's presence followed him everywhere where he went. And it is comforting to know that God knows everything about me. That God knows everything about you. God knows your sorrow, church. God knows your affliction. And we can find comfort this morning in that truth. But lastly, God delivers his people from affliction. God delivers his people from affliction. The anointing of Moses is on your life.
to deliver you from the bondage and from the affliction that you are going through. Exodus chapter 3 verse 8 says it this way. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Church, God is much more than a passive watcher. God desires to become actively involved in your life. God desires to become actively involved in your situation. And he says to us this morning, I have come down to deliver you. He comes down on your situation. You that have bound to sickness, hear what he says to you this morning. God comes down to your sickness to heal you. You who are overcome with sorrow and affliction, hear what God says to you this morning. God comes down to your affliction to heal you and deliver you from your affliction. You who have been a slave by your enemies, by the enemy of depression, by the enemy of low self-esteem, by the enemy of sin, God says, I have come down to deliver you from your enemies. At the proper time, God will deliver his people. God will deliver his people. Sometimes the deliverance has been long awaited. Sometimes it will come when we least expect it. Sometimes in ways that are despised by us. Moses had been rejected before by the people. And this is the very man that now God sends their way to deliver them from the Egyptian bondage. But while Israel was crying out to God, God was preparing the means of deliverance. God was moving in the life of Moses. God was moving in the circumstances of Moses. God was changing the heart of Moses to prepare him and to anoint him to be the means of deliverance for his people. God, in the same way, is moving in your situation. God is moving in your circumstances. And God is moving circumstances. God is moving and sending people your way to grant you the means of your deliverance. Exodus chapter 3 verse 8 reveals to us that God moves in a threefold manner on behalf of his afflicted people. Number one, he is moved to deliver them from their affliction. If there is anything that grieves the heart of God, is to see a son of him or to see a daughter of him in bondage. Jesus did not die on the cross to leave you in bondage. Jesus did not die on the cross to leave you in a wilderness forever. Jesus wants to set you free from your affliction. Jesus wants to set you free from your oppression. And Jesus wants to set you free from the enemies that are coming against you. He says, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Psalm 34 verse 18 and 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteousness. In this life, even when we serve God, we are going to have affliction. We are going to be oppressed. But look at the promise. But the Lord delivers them out, all of them. Yes. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, God is moved to take you to a better place. God is always moving in the life of a child of his to move them to a better place. The life of a Christian is never on a standstill. The life of a Christian is always in moving. It's always moving and it's always in progress. He says to Moses, I came down to bring them up out of that land. Out of that land. Psalm 37 verse 23 and 24 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, a and he delights in his way, and though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. God does not want to leave you in a bad place. If you are in a bad place this morning, hear the word of God. God will move and come down to your situation to take you out of that bad place. God will take you to a better place. Thirdly, God is moved to bless you with good things. He says, and to bring them unto a good land and a large. In other words, understand the heart of God. God did not only deliver his people to put them someplace. No. The heart of God is, I want to deliver them, not to put you in any place, but to take you to a more better place. He says, bring them unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Psalm 68 verse 19 says it, blessed is the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. He is a good God. God wants to deliver you from affliction. God wants to take you out of a bad place this morning, to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey, to take you to a land where his blessing, where his freedom, where his joy and his healing can flow through your life. He is a good God. So we can take delight this morning in the fact that God sees your affliction, that God hears your prayer, that God knows everything that you're going through, and he feels the affliction with you. But God is not a passive observer. God will release his power on your life. God will come down and get involved himself in your situation to deliver you and to take you to a much better place. In Jesus' name. Let's close.